We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Juno Alexander in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you. Very much indeed, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you just heard, we're delighted to welcome back to the program Juno Alexander, who's had the courage to return and do battle with our three regular male competitors at the game. She's, as it were, in the hot seat, because that's where the lady usually sits, because she doesn't get as much practice as the men. Once again, I'm going to ask them all to speak, if they can, for just 1 minute on some unlikely subject, without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card which is in front of me. And according to how well they do this and how often they're challenged, they will gain points, or their opponents will. And let us begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, are you ready to begin the show?
Of course I am. I'm all poised.
Oh, you seem to be in deep conversation.
No, I was thoughtful.
Oh, thoughtful. Oh, thoughtful. I thought you were discussing form with your partner.
All my energies in reserve.
Right.
Go on, fire at me.
Fire at you. What a lovely subject for you to start with. Fellow feeling. Kenneth, will you talk to us for 60 seconds, if you can, on fellow feeling, starting now?
Well, fellow feeling is something I possess in abundance. Indeed, it is an absolutely essential element in ensemble work, and of course this in the theatre represents the premier kind of expression. And actors working in unison, ball being flung one to the other, and the feeling that they are sharing, that there is room, consideration for others, is the only way we can ever truly achieve a 100% mise-en-scene or total effect, call it what you will. One of the very best directors in the history, and Guthrie always maintained that the making of an atmosphere in which an artist could be uninhibited was the essential factor in producing.
Peter Jones has dared to challenge you. Why?
Repetition of essential. He said essential quite early on.
Did he? I was so carried away with what he was saying.
Well, I was quite carried away.
So much in the mood that he was creating, I don't even remember whether he said it before.
Well, yes, he did say it before, and I could see Clement Freud flexing
and
his
thumb. And he's very honest, he's nodded his head and said he did say it before. So, Peter Jones, you have a correct challenge, therefore you gain a point and you take over the subject, and there are 18 seconds for fellow feeling starting now.
At the Royal Zoological Gardens in Regent's Park in London, St. John's Wood, actually, NW8.
Clement Freud has challenged you.
Regent's Park, a deviation.
Why?
Regent's Park and St. John's Wood are adjacent sub-departments of Camden.
Oh, my goodness!
Say that Regent's Park is
tried,
in... Say that Regent's Park is in St. John's Wood is
He did not actually say that. To my mind, he said Regent's Park in London, St. John's Wood. He conveyed to me that Regent's Park was adjacent to St. John's Wood and not in St. John's Wood. And therefore, I'm going to give Peter Jones the benefit of the doubt in this situation, award him a point for an incorrect challenge, and tell him there are 13 seconds left for you to continue on fellow feeling, starting now.
On Sunday mornings, this great zoo is thrown open to the fellows who are able to fondle the animals and be photographed.
Kenneth Williams has challenged. Why?
Deviation. No fellows ever fondle animals in zoological.
You are able to fondle some of the animals in Pets Corner.
He said fellows of
yes,
the
Yes, and I've seen some
society.
Of those funny fellows go down into the Pets Corner with their children and fondle the animals.
Oh,
look,
yes.
Dearie,
snakes
isn't this
as well. I've seen that.
With snakes, have you?
Oh, yes.
Well, I've seen them with the deer, and I've bent down once and been bucked by one of the goats there, too.
Ah.
4 seconds left for fellow feeling with you, Peter Jones, starting now.
Someone with a camera took a snap of a fellow feeling and captioned it thus.
The whistle tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that particular moment gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Peter Jones. So at the end of that round, he actually is the only person to score. He has a commanding lead for once in his life of 4 points.
I'm going to take my jacket off.
Do it, Kelly. He's taking it. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject now is my desserts. Can you talk on my desserts for 60 seconds, starting now?
When I talk about my desserts, my children always think it ought to be called deserts, and of course they are wrong. But whichever of the two you are referring to, I would like to tell you about two missionaries called Catherine and Sid, who died...
Juno Alexander, why have you challenged?
Well, now, surely those missionaries aren't desserts.
We don't know yet. They sounded as if they might be just Clement Freud's desserts.
I don't know. This is a funny game.
We have to give him a chance to establish it, Juno. So
I don't see why. He's so clever. He can afford a few disadvantages.
I know. That's why he so often wins. But we'll see. 43 seconds on my desserts, Clement, starting now.
And when the cannibals got at them and put them in a pot and made Kate and Sydney pie, they got their desserts. Which you couldn't call my dessert.
Peter Jones, a challenge, why?
Well, he's got the joke over, so I don't mind interrupting and saying he's mentioned Kate and Sydney twice.
No.
And so Catherine he's repeated them.
Catherine and Sydney.
Kate and Sydney pie, and then during the laughter he said Catherine and Sydney, which is very clever
that.
Enough. Before that, before.
Oh,
anyway.
He did?
Yes, he did, I'm afraid.
I beg your pardon.
No, well tried, Peter. It was worth it just to hear the joke anyway.
Yes.
An incorrect challenge from Peter Jones. So Clement Freud was speaking, he gains another point. He keeps the subject. There are 30 seconds left for my desserts, Clement, starting now.
Bread and butter pudding, trifle, apple and apricot crumble are probably my desserts that are most appreciated by the housewives of England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, Luxembourg, Belgium, Liechtenstein.
Hesitation.
He didn't. The hesitation has to be slightly longer, Juno.
I see.
So for an incorrect challenge of hesitation, Clement gains another point, and 10 seconds for my desserts, Clement, starting now.
Cream, custard, and junket are useful things to pour onto my desserts, although there are some who like them dry, without anything at all on a plate, with a spoon and a fork.
Well, Clement Freud started with my desserts and, in spite of a number of challenges, finished with my desserts. And he's now equal in the lead with Peter Jones. Juno Alexander, now is your chance, my dear, because you begin the next round. And the subject, delightfully chosen for you by Ian Messiter, is one size tights. Can you talk to us on that delightfully feminine subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
These are particularly useful when stuffed. You place several inside one and seal the end. When laid on the ground inside the door, they stop drafts very effectively from entering. However, if their uniqueness lies in their smallness, they do impede the gait of taller girls as the crutch comes around the knee joint, which makes rather amusing walking, but is not very practical for getting on buses. On the other hand, if they are very large...
Clement Freud's challenge.
Why? Deviation.
Why?
Wearing tights on the other hand.
They can be. I use them as polishers.
Well, Clement Freud gains, I think, a well-deserved bonus point for a clever challenge, but as Juno was not actually deviating from the subject on the card, she continues with it for 22 seconds, starting now.
If they are very large, the small girl is in danger of having skin on her legs that looks like elephants. Also, the body comes up underneath the armpits and indeed can cover the entire head, which is useful to give the girl herself to her husband as a Christmas present.
Well done, Juno. And you thought there was no chivalry in this game.
There isn't, is there?
Anyway, you gained a well-deserved point because you finished as the whistle went and you are now well back in the game in third place just in front of Kenneth Williams. And Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. Kenneth, the subject is small talk. Can you talk to us on small talk, starting now?
Oh, I have a friend whose ploy at parties where this kind of thing is asked for. He says, I like New York in June. How about you? And invariably, people reply in a similar idiom. But On one occasion, this man said, I like New York any time of the year, which means I just repeated myself.
Juno exams.
He's like New York twice, hasn't he?
That's right, yes. New York came in twice. And so you gain a point for a correct challenge, Juno, and you take over the subject of small talk, and there are 37 seconds left, starting now.
Small talk is rarely indulged in by dwarves or very little people in minuscule voices on trivial subjects, at parties, and is accompanied by giggles, tickles, smiles, and gestures.
Peter Jones has challenged. Why?
It's accompanied by dickles. I didn't understand that.
Dickles.
The yes. Name of a dwarf, I thought.
It's a special laugh that dwarfs have, as Clement has said. Dickles.
Oh, it is?
Well,
no, it is, in fact, the name of a dwarf who accompanies his friend at this party. What? That's what you said. I stole it from you.
Repetition.
All right, so we'll give you the benefit of the doubt on your dickles, Juno, and let you have a point there for a very dicklish point, and 19 seconds to continue on small talk starting now. Clement.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, she spoke much more quickly last time. She didn't seem to say anything this time.
A very clever and subtle challenge, but it is correct after all. So, Clement, instead of saying pause, you went around it that way. You have another point, and you have 17 seconds for small talk starting now.
Does your mother take in washing? Has she sold her mangle? What's become of the old piano your sister used to strangle? Has your father plenty of work? Does he still get booze too? Tell me all the particulars and stop as
and
long
Juno
as...
And Juno Alexander's challenge.
But that is a deviation. That small talk. Does your mother take in washing? This can lead to...
Yes, it can lead to all kinds of things, indeed. That type of small talk. Right. So I'm afraid Clement Freud has another point and 6 seconds to continue with small talk starting now.
How are you? I'm quite well, thank you very much. The weather is inclement, do you not think? No.
That no was about the smallest talk I've ever heard, but fortunately you got it in before you were challenged. So at the end of that round, Clement Freud, you have gone into the lead now ahead of Peter Jones. And Peter Jones, your turn to begin. From small talk to talking big. Can you go on that subject, Peter, for 60 seconds, starting now?
This is a reputation that Americans undeservedly have in this country and elsewhere, and I heard about a tour of a bus tour.
Kenneth Williams got him first there. Hesitation. Yes. So, Kenneth, you take over the subject, having gained a point, of talking big, starting now.
Well, it's idiosyncratic, and obviously it means to be braggartly boastful and indulging in any kind of vainglory. Well, of course, this is something many egomaniacs are prone to do. And the archetypal romantic, like Adolf Hitler, was noted for this kind of thing. Up and down the room in Birch's garden he used to go. And bored everybody's pants off him, but they all said afterwards, he does talk very big. Very big. And of course, he's got a reputation, you see, for so Hermann Göring was the same with all those medals and all was saying what the Luftwaffe was going to do. Whereas, of course, we know it didn't. It wasn't even capable of it. When once faced with those Spitfires, the Battle of Britain proved our supremacy, and yet this kind of thing has taken in people, hasn't it? Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, old Louis, he always said, get outside the bedroom door and pray for your mother. That mother is dying in there. Pray for her.
Well done, Kenneth. They enjoyed your talking big, and they let you get away with two very bigs. I have to mention that because sometimes we do get letters. I think they'd noticed it, but they let Kenneth go because he went so well.
And you deserve the 2 points too, you got. And I was too...
Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject now is sense. From that to sense. Can you talk to us for that just a minute, starting now?
When a man came up to me near Stogumber, which is in the vicinity of Crocombe in Somerset, and said, do you ken John Peel, with his coat so grey? I said, actually not, but I have smelt his scents. I was told that this was ungrammatical. It should have been, I have scented his odour. But this is unimportant, because if you go fox hunting, stag or hare chasing, it is terribly important to get a whiff through your nostrils and identify the prey which is later called the kill. I think I'll stop here. All right, I'll go
right,
on.
Right, and Kenneth got in first. They were so surprised as if I stopped, they would know what happened. Kenneth, you got in first and...
Hesitation,
of course. And, in fact, everything else you want to challenge him on for that point. There are 20 seconds left for you now, Kenneth, on sense starting now.
Well, this means that you so arrange the literature, the conversation, or what have you, in a logical order whereby your interlocutor can perfectly comprehend your meaning. Indeed, crystalline should be one's motivation in this sense, because after all, what is the point of any kind of talk between one or the other?
Oh. Well, once again, Kenneth Williams was speaking when the whistle went. He gained that extra point, and he has leapt forward from fourth place into third. Ahead of Juno Alexander, who is trailing somewhat behind Peter Jones, who is a few points behind our leader, who is still Clement Freud. And Juno Alexander, your turn to begin. The subject, Juno, joy. Can you talk to us about joy for 60 seconds, starting now?
Joy is a very extraordinary girl with whom I was at school and who did herself an injury when using her ingenuity to do up a zip with a piece of string. However, although this spoiled her sense of humour, it no way impaired her marital...
Kenneth Williams, of chat. Yes, I must say, when she got to that thought, she did hesitate.
I did.
Joy is listening in now. I'm sure she's delighted to know that... Juno didn't go any further. Kenneth, you have another point for a correct challenge, and you have 40 seconds on joy starting now.
Probably this is best shown by the truly juvenile, those people who, in their moment of elation, they shall become quite ecstatic, unbounded, uninhibited, and we are all infected by the incredible joy which they spread all around them. Some people, delightful humorist, Jimmy Edwards, I think of, always spreading light and joy, so to speak, from
their... Two joys, repetition.
You're allowed, it's the title.
Well, try, Juno.
I'm having a heart attack.
I know. Well, don't. Just relax on it. You'll find it much easier, really. Because you challenged, it was incorrect. Kenneth gets another point, and he continues with joy for 18 seconds, starting now.
Joy unbounded, as I say. And let's all agree, you can't have enough of it. The good book says, joy cometh in the morning. And so do I. Comfort yourself with a joyful manner, and then you will all be delighted.
So, in spite of challenges which all worked to Kenneth's advantage, he really has leapt forward at the end of that round, and he is now in a very definite second place, only 1 point behind our leader, who is still Clement Freud. And Kenneth Williams, we're going to hear from you again because it's your turn to begin, and the subject, Machiavelli. Can you talk to us about him for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, as far as I know, he was this prince, you see. I've wrote about princes. I mean, I wasn't actually a prince himself, for God's sake.
Clement Freud has challenged. Why?
Three princes in 2 seconds.
Yes, I know. If I'd heard them, I'm sure I would agree with you.
Well, he had a way.
Yes,
he
I
was
know.
Just feeling my way
he
there.
He had so much joy on the last round. Had to find another way of being joyful, and it was in a different voice. Clement, I agree with the challenge. You have 54 seconds for Machiavelli starting...
Hello? Sorry.
You have 54 seconds for Machiavelli starting now.
Machiavelli has now become a term used for diabolical people, for men and women imbued with a sort of demon quality which kills the joy and pleasure that others might derive. In Pygmalion, written by George Bernard Shaw, from an old myth written by Anonymous in Greek times, one of the characters is, in fact, I was talking about Major Barbara, by the same author, referred to as Machiavelli. He was played by Monty Woolley in a film I saw when I was quite young, and later by Alexander Wolcott in a play which I saw sometime after that.
Peter Jones, a challenge, why?
No, he wasn't played by Monty Woolley. He's played by Robert Morley, but that really has nothing to do with it anyway.
Why? I mean, what is the play you're referring to then?
The Man Who Came to Dinner.
Yes, but it wasn't anything to do with George Bernard Shaw anyway.
It wasn't anything to do
with
Machiavelli.
But actually, it was played by Monty Woolley in the film.
Oh, it was.
It was, definitely.
I mean, Major Barbara wasn't. But
no,
what's
Major
it
Barbara
got to do with Machiavelli?
If
that's what I mean.
If you challenged him for saying that play was not by Bernard Shaw, I would have upheld the challenge.
Yes, but what I'm challenging him on is the fact that it's nothing to do with Machiavelli, who did, in fact, write a play called Mandragola, which was adapted into English by Ashley Dukes, and it was done in 1933, without Monty Woolley or Robert Morley.
You've made the whole thing so devious, now I don't really know what the challenge was. What is the challenge? Back to first base.
Deviation.
I don't think, strictly speaking, Clement Freud was deviating from the subject on the card, which is Machiavelli. And if you're not satisfied, I will put it to the audience for a final decision.
Oh, you might as well. Why not? Yes, all right.
All right. If you agree, you've heard what I've said, and if you now agree...
Let's get it clear. What are they going to do if they agree with me?
They will cheer.
Cheer, I see.
And right. If they disagree with you and... uphold disagree with the challenge, in other words, your Clement Freud's side on the situation, would you please boo? And will you all do it together now?
Boo!
You're all devious. Because I always say the audience have the final say, but I disagree with you, actually. But you're on Peter Jones' side, so Peter Jones gets a point, and he takes over the subject with 15 seconds to go of Machiavelli starting now.
He wrote this play called Mandragola, which was adapted into English and called Mistress of the Inn, performed at the Mercury Theatre in London, 1933, or possibly 4. Wonderful notices in all the national papers.
Well, Peter Jones's accurate description of that particular Machiavellian character gained him 2 extra points. He has crept up, but he's still 1 point behind Kenneth Williams, who is 2 points behind our leader, who is still Clement Freud. And Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject is optical illusions. Can you talk to us about those for 60 seconds, starting now?
Very difficult to get over on the radio. They are often black lines.
Kenneth Williams, challenge.
Oh, hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. I agree.
Right. Right. Hesitation. Don't put it to the audience.
That was no optical illusion. Kenneth, you have a point, and you have 53 seconds for optical illusions starting now.
One of the most interesting of these is created by what's called the Aurora Borealis. Ah, how often have we stood on the peninsula or promontory, depending, of course, on your personal proclivities in that matter. Who challenged?
Clement Freud.
Oh, sorry. What was the challenge?
A repetition of ha.
Yes. Oh.
Kenneth, if you dry yourself up with your personal proclivities, you must expect to be challenged. But there was a repetition of Ha and Clement Freud, and you can hardly afford to do it because this will have to be the last subject that we have time for in this particular show. And Clement Freud has gained another point. He's increased his lead, and he takes over the subject of optical illusions. He has 36 seconds left, starting now.
Standing on the tee at my local golf club, I took a number 4 iron and projected the ball towards the green, and miraculously it flew over 2 bunkers and rolled straight into the hole. Before I was able to shout hurrah, tip my caddy, and celebrate generally, I was told that in fact I had missed. This was an optical illusion. The ball remained where it was at the beginning.
Deviation. This is not an optical illusion at all. It's just his error of judgment.
Another.
I think the audience applause indicates that they're on your side and they appreciate that as an error of judgment, because if he looked down and saw that the ball wasn't there, it wouldn't be an optical illusion. It would be a fantasy, I think, more like, wouldn't you? So I will give you the benefit of the doubt because the audience decide that way and say you have 7 seconds for optical illusions, Kenneth, starting now.
Well, Scrooge had one when he saw this spectre which said, I am the ghost of Christmas past. Well, of course, what did he do? He had the most terrible...
I said on little while ago, we would have no more time at the end of this round, so I'm afraid we have to finish this particular game of Just a Minute, and it only remains for me to give you the final score. Juno Alexander, coming back to the game and not having played it for a long time, tried very hard, but she finished in fourth place. A little way behind Peter Jones, who finished in second place, and they were both behind this week's joint winners, who were, because of his last 2 points that he gained, Kenneth Williams alongside Clement Freud. We hope that you enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Simon Brett.